The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Madeleine Nigali is with me now. She's the Vice Chair of the GP Committee of the IMO and a GP in Castlereagh as well, to talk about these new figures released showing the number of abortions in the state at 10,852 last year, the highest since abortion laws were relaxed and legalised in 2019 in this country. Madeleine, you're very welcome to the show. How do you reflect on that number, just shy of 11,000?
Well, what that number means to me as a provider of termination of pregnancy care to women in the west of Ireland is that that is over 10,000 women who didn't have to travel to the UK to seek medical care that they badly needed, and that they were able to seek care within their near community, maybe not within their own community, but certainly closer by. And as a result of that, I think we should be very proud that as a country that we have become, we have caught up with our neighbours and are providing proper care to our women.
On the face of it, it would appear like it's a big increase in the numbers who were travelling to the UK, but those numbers that are travelling to the UK, you know, what that's actually a reflection of, you know, and it would go up between 3,000 and 6,000 in a given year, were people who went to the UK, women who went to the UK, but gave an Irish address. I assume there were other people who did likewise and maybe gave an English address, and there were other people who were accessing abortion pills here in this country. So, you know, the numbers going to the UK were never the actual numbers of abortions.
Absolutely. There was, because all of this care was shrouded in stigma and secrecy and shame, many, many women travelled and gave addresses of maybe a loved one or a relative that allowed them stay in the UK while they were there, or gave false addresses, or, as you say, accessed medications online, which obviously it would be something we'd be very concerned as doctors, because we, you know, it's not necessarily a safe way to access medical treatment. However, when somebody is desperate, she's going to do something like that. So again, I think the figures are probably, the new figures that have come out probably reflect the fact that women now know that there's a service here, that there's a safe service here, and they can access it quite close to where they live. So I think that's really important.
So some women, though, still travelling to the UK, obviously, you know, a fraction of the number that used to travel. I assume that's just a reflection of the tightened nature of access in this country.
Yes. Yeah, so as any provider in the country would tell you, most women and girls will access the service quite early on, as soon as they have a positive pregnancy test. However, for many reasons, their realization that they're pregnant may come later in a pregnancy. It may be that their circumstances change in a pregnancy, or they may have a medical condition or gynecological condition that they haven't realized that they've been pregnant, or their social circumstances have dictated that they end up seeking care later than we can provide the treatment. So in those cases, if they're over 11 weeks, then we are not 11 weeks plus 6 days, and we're not able to provide care in this country. And so those women end up having to travel. And again, it's something that we would be asking the powers that be to look at, to allow some relaxing of this law around that very tight limit on women who are seeking medical care.
So what other aspects of the system in this country are arguably not working as well as they might, in your view?
Well, definitely if we give a treatment off, there's a grey area if as providers we give treatment up to the time limit and the treatment hasn't worked, then we're in a grey area as to whether we can continue with the treatment or not over the time limit. And so that leaves us in a very difficult position. And luckily there's good peer support, and we have good hospital support with and we work as teams, but we would need that cleared up. We also find that, I suppose, women who are given diagnoses of very difficult conditions that their fetus is going to suffer from after birth, those women often find that they have to travel to the UK for abortion treatment, because the condition doesn't fall under the fatal fetal abnormality condition that is quite tight in this country. So that would be something that would need to be looked at to try and support those women at home to get treatment at home.
I remember after the referendum concluded and before the system was up and running, there had been a concern expressed by some GPs in different parts of the country that they might be the subject or the target of protest, be that kind of protest in person outside GP surgeries and clinics, or that there would be an email or a written letter campaign. Did that manifest much? Is there still any evidence of it lingering around the country?
Well, unbeknownst to yourself, Ciarán, our practice is the most protested practice in the country. Every last Friday of every month since the beginning, we've had protesters outside of our practice. And that can range from maybe 10 to 15, maybe 20 people with banners, with all sorts of different messages, and sometimes some hymns and being sung, and which I have no problem with hymns, but sometimes with loud hailers. The problem with that is that I suppose what's good now is that there is a certain safe zone, so they can't come out right outside our surgery. They have to be 100 metres away from the premises. So that has helped enormously. But it is difficult for women who are passing them, who are coming in to seek legal health care, that they have to pass those people as they wander, come by. But look, it is an improvement on what it was. But those protesters also brought up a lot of conversations. Women who previously had travelled in the dark days to England, and they were able to debrief for the first time when they came into our practice, knowing that we were open to talking about it in a non-judgmental way.
Did you, or has anyone else in the practice had any engagement with them, or
no,
has that
no,
been
we,
seen
we
as
try not
something
to.
Worthwhile?
No, we try not to. And I suppose, look, I've no problem with people protesting. Everybody should have the right to protest. But it's just, this is a particular, healthcare facilities are a particular area that need to be protected.
What was the feedback from patients, and not necessarily patients, you know, accessing, maternity care or an abortion, patients maybe who were coming in for any other medical ailment, but they saw this outside? What were they saying to you when they came in?
A couple of our patients did approach the protesters and gave them, female patients approached them and gave them their point of view, which was, you know, they felt that it was unfair that they were outside of our premises. But interestingly, I had, you know, women who one would have thought would possibly be quite conservative in their views. We live in a conservative county, as Ireland goes. But some women who've, you know, seen life, who have been through, you know, very difficult issues with pregnancies or within their family, or very large families in the past, some of those older women came in and said, you know, thank God now there is something for our young women. They don't have to go through what we went through as youngsters. So very interesting conversations were thrown up as a result of the protesters, maybe an unexpected consequence, really.
Can I ask you before I let you go whether you've seen any evidence of younger people, younger women maybe in particular, foregoing contraception? So I'll tell you how this came up. I'll give people a little peek at how the sausage is made. It was a conversation we had here, and some of my younger colleagues, female colleagues, said this is something that's kind of spreading like wildfire, these videos on TikTok in particular. Now, most of my social media algorithms are gardening advice and things like this. So I'm in a completely different world, so I wasn't aware of it. But they say this is flying around, these videos telling women they shouldn't be on it. It's bad for them. It's terrible for their hormonal balance and everything. And anecdotally, there's talk of a reduction in the number of people using contraception, young people. Have you seen any of that?
No, I mean, I think, first of all, a bit like the anti-vaxxers, those types of viral videos are really worrying in the round from a medical point of view. With regard to women accessing contraception, I think we have to be really careful in this area to talk that we're not judging, that there's no judgment around women who feel hormonal or any contraception is not the right choice for them, because everybody's body is different. However, I would say absolutely not. I have not seen a reduction in women accessing contraception. In fact, now that there is less of a barrier, women are accessing contraception. But for lots of other reasons, women find themselves with unplanned pregnancies and where they just feel they can't continue the pregnancy. So I don't think that while there is some relation, certainly the conversation is will often around contraception is very important. Unplanned pregnancy isn't just about a contraception issue. It can be a social issue. It can be the fact that a woman's circumstances change, maybe wanted to become pregnant and her circumstances change, maybe can't access time to find her contraception because of women's caring duties are increasing as our population and our society grows older and living longer.
Madeline, listen, thanks a million for all of that. Really interesting stuff. Madeline Nigali is the Vice Chair of the GP Committee of the Irish Medical Organisation, the IMO, and a GP in Castlereagh as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.